This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Neitzel, along with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm, Jonathan Hood from ESPN 1000, who is looking at me sideways because, well, you know, clean-shaven.
Wow.
So no beard. Yes, it has been the reaction all day of people just shocked to see me without a beard. First time in a decade I have been without a beard.
Did you lose a hair versus hair match? I don't understand.
No, that's what I should have done. Should have had a hair versus hair match. No, what ended up happening is I appeared on our afternoon show here on ESPN Milwaukee KBN, and the afternoon show has always been friendly in raising money for the MAC Fund in the fight against childhood cancer, local charity here in Milwaukee that raises money for pediatric cancer research. And the three that were on the show yesterday all agreed to get buzz cuts. And then somebody had asked how much to shave my beard. I said, you know, about $1,000. We got to that point. And now we're just trying to grow the beard back as fast as we can. Shaved it off this morning. My wife was disappointed in me. So as disappointed as you are, Hood, just know that my wife is even less of a fan of the way I look right now than you are.
No, I just haven't been this shocked since Jim Duggan shaved his beard in WCW. That's the last time I've been this shocked since he went full Canadian heel in WCW with no beard, as you see that right there if you're watching on YouTube. That's the last time I was this shocked.
What a shame.
Yeah, so we will be growing the beard back as quickly as possible. It's just you're going to have to bear with me. It's going to take a little bit of time.
I think it's fantastic. I just think it's fantastic. I think it's for the kids, right?
It is for the kids. It's for the kids. So, again, if you want to contribute, just text GOLF to 800-990-3776. A link will be sent directly to your phone if you want to contribute in the fight against childhood cancer.
Awesome.
All right, boys. We are still coming down a little bit here on GKW after the long WrestleMania week. Didn't have our normal show last week coming off of WrestleMania and the NFL draft and all those sorts of things. Back on our regular schedule. And we're going to have some big, you know, events and matches coming up. But one of the things that was also announced around WrestleMania was a peek behind the curtain, basically, as WWE is going to have a behind-the-scenes show that's going to be coming out on Netflix this summer, which seems a little contradictory to me on some of the comments that Triple H was making around WrestleMania about how maybe sometimes fans know a little too much. But how do you feel and about the peek behind the curtain that we are going to have with a show coming up on Netflix?
Don't forget also to add, before you jump in there, Hood, Dave LaGreca busted open, very upset about it. Dwayne The Rock Johnson commented on Instagram, quote, "This business is a complete work, always has been, always will be, every aspect of it, every match, every interview." There's one of the leaders of the company.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Then, if you're going to say all that and put that out there for everybody, then don't get on us as fans to want to know more about the company and the behind the scenes of it. You can't have it both ways. And by the way, but even before Triple H started working there, this company's always wanted it both ways, all the time.
Yep.
And so that's not a surprise, guys. And so I saw that sit down with Peter Rosenberg, and Triple H was so agitated. For a guy that's going to the Hall of Fame, where everything's been taken care of, the creative is done, he was so agitated before WrestleMania about us as fans and about how we perceive the company. Hey, man, you continue to want to open up the back door of your company, starting with Netflix in Los Angeles, talking about what's to shoot and what to work and all the inside terms. You did that. We didn't ask for it. You did that. So I guess the answer to the question is that when Triple H and others try to be able to tell us what's going on with the company behind the scenes and try to do more, of course, we as fans want to know more. I think it's very clear. Triple H did not grow up listening to sports talk radio. Did not listen and probably not watching today's product on ESPN or FS1, because we all talk about what's popular, what's hot, the do's and don'ts, the good and bad. This idea that he just says, just sit back and enjoy the show. Just enjoy the show. Well, we can't enjoy the show if you're always telling us the inside of the show.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, they are very much leaning on the sports entertainment side. They want to be entertainment. We're well aware that when we watch a movie, those actors and actresses are going to dinner after, even though they're good guys and bad guys. But when you bring it on screen and you mention some of this stuff, and you hurt the product when Dwayne Johnson is supposed to be a heel and he's talking about how much he loves Cody Rhodes, that hurts the product. Like, that's my biggest issue with this. Like, it'll be fun. I will watch. Like, BTE, which was behind the scenes, is one of the reasons AEW exists today. That was fun. We saw the way they coexisted, but like, it's just taking something away right now that I just don't love what they're doing and this approach they're taking.
So the only problem I have with it is the hypocrisy of, like, again, leadership being upset with it. Like, the show itself existing, I don't have a problem with it. I probably won't watch all that much. Maybe there will be certain episodes. I will, for example, my wife and I watched the show The Last of Us on HBO. And if you watch the show, at the end, there's a behind-the-scenes look. You know, here's how we shot this. Here's how we decided to handle this heavy moment in the show and all these different things. And most of the time, I don't really care. I don't really want to watch it. Now, there was an episode, you know, that happened early in the season. I'm like, oh, I'm curious how they, you know, kind of did this or why they decided to go with this. And, you know, I watched then for that big moment. But that's the way I kind of look at this. This is just additional content that you can have on Netflix. But the problem is then you can't be pissed off when fans want to know more and then you're giving them more. Now you can't be pissed off at me. Like, don't tell me how to fan when you're like, oh, I just wish it was this way, when you're contributing for it going the other way with the content that you are putting on Netflix, which again, I'm sure is making the company a lot of money. Just you can't bitch and moan about how you want things to be and then contribute to the other side that you're complaining against.
Is there a world where there's just a disconnect between Hunter and The Rock? Like, we've talked about a little
100%,
bit.
100%.
So maybe that's all this is, where Hunter's like, I don't want to do this. And Dwayne's like, no, this is what we're doing. And it's just left at that.
Yeah, this goes even into WrestleMania, guys. Right. It clearly is a problem between those two. And, you know, on the hierarchy of things, I think that clearly The Rock is over Triple H, even though Triple H is running creative and then The Rock is part of TKO and part of the board. But I mean, you could just tell from what The Rock was saying and what Triple H is saying, they're on two different pages. The Rock clearly, and I've come up to this opinion that The Rock just couldn't get out of his movie commitment. That's a Scorsese film he's doing, right? Yes. Yeah, he would cut his nuts off if he left for WrestleMania.
Well, who was that? Was that Kevin Nash who said that on his podcast? Like, oh yeah, he's doing a Scorsese film. Like, okay, well, that makes sense. Like, there's like, yeah. Well, because The Rock obviously wants to get into more serious roles. We saw I don't know if you saw the trailer this week for the Mark Fox movie that's coming out, that where he's, you know, appearances changed a little bit, changing his voice, obviously wants to get in these serious roles. So if you get into a Scorsese film, yeah, that's going to kind of take precedence over everything else. I understand that.
But then it's the whole scheduling thing. Like, if you knew this was coming down, you've got to be able to plan this a lot better. You can't be there and also shit on the company at the same time saying, well, ticket sales were down in Toronto, so I made this appearance and we came up with this whole thing. But ultimately, I stepped back because this is all on Cody and John and Travis Scott. Like, really? Like, you can't make the appearance, do the cutthroat thing, say that, hey, like, I'm running this because I'm the final boss, and then the final boss just kind of disappears into the background. Like, that's not how you tell the story. If it's AEW, we'd be screaming from the mountains how bad that is. But it's WWE, and because it's the cool brand, so I guess it's okay. It's not okay. That's bad creative.
Yeah, completely agree. And even, like, that discussion where it's like, oh, yeah, Ari called me, Dwayne says that, where it's like, so Hunter's not involved in this? Like, Hunter didn't even know you're showing up at Elimination Chamber? Like, there's so much, and there's such a bad taste in our mouth from the way Mania ended. It obviously is because of that disconnect, and there's just weird things happening over there right now. It's very odd. Like, this should be the celebrated time for WWE, but something's off right now with them.
Yeah, and that's the part where I'm like, I get a little bit worried, where, I mean, you laid out kind of what the hierarchy appears to be, Hood, of, okay, it's, you know, like, Triple H is way down here. You've got Ari, you've got Nick Khan, you've got Dwayne all working above him. And if they're not all working in concert together, like, that's going to be really hard to keep good storylines afloat. Like, if these guys up here at the top are doing things what they believe is best for business, or, hey, we're going to make these business decisions because we're TKO and this is what we're going to do, but then that contradicts with what you want. Like, let's just take The Rock at his word and say he was called to come in because ticket sales were bad. Like, how are you not running that past Triple H first? Like, hey, how can we fold this into a story and make sure it ultimately makes sense? And again, based on what The Rock was saying, if we're taking him at his word, that's not at all what happened. And that's when you can start to lose your creative continuity, which is something that they've done so well under Triple H at times.
So the only way to salvage this at some point this year, guys, and save this, Brian, because I feel like the way that these real stories are out there for everybody, maybe this is the way to salvage it. When The Rock is ready to come back, there has to be a confrontation between him and Triple H. It's going to be verbal because Triple H can't wrestle. Yeah. But my point is that if this is a real issue, then it's going to have to be some kind of power struggle on screen. It has to be, because we all know it. This right. whole company that says sit back and enjoy it, well, it's open for everybody. That clearly The Rock says this on McAfee about how, you know, I would have done things slightly differently, and then Triple H does this, and you say that in the open, that means you're not working collaboratively. You're not working together. So hopefully this ends up in the ring as far as them talking about this and talking through this, so that way it becomes an angle of some distinction.
I mean, you're going to get Cody and Bad Bunny versus Cena and Travis Scott. Same thing, right?
In Puerto Rico?
I mean, yeah, if you sign me up for Puerto Rico, yeah. Let's go ahead and put that in Puerto Rico. I'll fly down and cover it for us.
But I mean, you sort of have that random.
Yeah, but you got to get the beard back, though. Before
right.
Before you come back to go to Puerto Rico, beard. You can't go down there and just gringo. You got to go in there. You can't go in there gringo loco. You got to go in there with the beard, Puerto Rico, with your wife, and film it for us. Awesome.
Remember last year at that impromptu like press conference thing in Vegas when they changed the main event and they did a whole thing? Dwayne and Hunter had that backstage thing. Remember Rock was mm-hmm. like walking out, like, you need to handle this. You need to handle this. And obviously nothing came of that, but like, yeah. I don't know, it's just weird seeing some of this stuff. And like, WrestleMania ends so differently if that's where we get to see a heel turn and Dwayne's never involved in this story.
Yes, correct. Mm-hmm. And like, they were
the
probably
Rock
able
is
to do
hurting
something.
The product right now.
Yeah, the lack of Rock is hurting the product.
Yeah.
Yes, I would say that. The lack of Rock being there is hurting the product. Yes.
Now, mm-hmm. now we can go like we could do the story of Cody versus Cena, two baby faces going after each other. Now it gets booed like Bautista uh-huh. against
Goldberg.
Brock, Goldberg, but still. If the end of it is, hey, Cena turns heel, now we're off to the races.
Yes.
But it was the horse was before the cart in that spot. It's weird.
Yep.
Well, because again, and it just directly contradicts, because there were a lot of us, and I'll raise my hand because I was one of them, that were complaining after he showed up at Bad Blood in Atlanta and then disappeared for a long time until we got him on Netflix. And it's like, okay, where's The Rock? And oh no, everything happens for a reason. Everything we do happens for a reason. And then the Rock shows up on McAfee and just like flies in direct contradiction of that. Like you can't have that message and then have that person go out there and do that. And again, it's such a weird time in WWE right now, because I don't know what the press conferences are for. Some people do them in character. Some do them out of a character. And same thing with interviews, even on the McAfee show. Because clearly Paul Heyman showed up in character and right. then just took a blowtorch to everything on the Monday after WrestleMania on McAfee's show. But then The Rock shows up as Dwayne Johnson and not the final boss, The Rock.
And there's so that weird creative confusing. Freedom where, like, we have had multiple WWE wrestlers on this show. One ever was in character. Most of them were not. And it's like, we got some real honest stuff to like, oh, there's some stories there, but like, they can't seem to make up their mind which direction they're going in.
Yeah. I just, and I tell you what, business is going well, obviously financially for WWE. It's the cool brand. It's cooler than AEW. Again, this is the public perception. And Brian, you can speak to it better than Gabe and I can, as far as your ear to the streets, what people are saying. I know a lot of independent shows are happening, but what were people saying about AEW versus WWE just in the crowd, just in conversations or passing? Do you hear anything about that?
Yeah, I mean, you see it walking around Vegas. Like, there's a reason Allegiant was sold out. Like, there are WWE shirts everywhere. Like, getting on my plane from South Florida, there are grown men dressed as Jey Uso. Like, it is the product. It is the mainstream product right now, but just something's off.
But that's the problem. Like, they got to fix that, and they got to fix it quickly.
Yeah.
Like, because the longer this lingers, the longer it becomes a bigger problem and the more you risk losing that cool factor that you have. Mm-hmm. Like, they were fortunate, but I mean, I got to imagine that they were a little nervous heading into WrestleMania. They got more tickets sold than anticipated, but there was a pretty decent amount of tickets sold, at least if you follow the Twitter account WrestleTix.
Yeah.
Based on that, it seemed like there were a decent amount of WrestleMania tickets sold the last week leading into that. And I'm guessing, you know, if you're in a place like Vegas and your WWE and your TKE are going, ooh, hopefully we can do this. And it probably makes you rethink about making SummerSlam a two-night event, or thinking about doing the Royal Rumble or Money in the Bank as two-night events. Like, unless you keep this momentum going, which WrestleMania is an example of not keeping it going, you're going to have issues with these big plans that you have.
Yep.
Yeah, just remember, this whole thing about WWE is about moments. They're about TikTok. They're about Instagram. Now, I think the first time that I heard something I didn't like from WWE as of late was Road Dogg Jesse James. I think we talked about this several years ago on the show when he said that wins and losses don't matter. Mm-hmm. It's about moments. And I'm just like, what are you talking about? Like, wins and losses doesn't, because it's part of the story. What do you mean it doesn't matter? Of course they matter, because as a fan, I'm watching episodically. I'm keeping track on who's good, who's not, who's in contention, who's not. He says, oh, wins and losses don't matter. Well, I'll tell you, they do a lot of slow burn stuff in WWE. And I just know, guys, that at some point people are going to want more. And I don't know. It's cool now, but what does that look like a year from now?
Well, and that's the one thing. The Road Dogg said that, I believe, under the previous regime when Vince was still in charge.
Yeah.
So I'd like to think that, I mean, Triple H has done a good job, I think, of balancing, yes, the moments, because when you have, you know, your big PLEs and you have those great video packages that WWE still does well, you want those moments to be able to flash. But he's done a good job of balancing those moments with good stories. And he's had the best of both worlds, really, in the storytelling, where, okay, I can have these recaps and keep the casual fan updated while keeping people like us engaged on the week to week. And again, this all starts with looking behind the curtain in the show they're putting up on Netflix.
Yeah.
Again, good for you, but there are trickle down effects to this now, and you can't go on tours and make TKO PR going, why does he keep bitching about our fan base, man? Like, why does he keep taking out the fan? You can't be complaining consistently about the fans. I understand some of us are going to piss you off from time to time, but you can't go after your consumer and expect everyone just be like, oh yeah, he's right, I'm wrong.
Yeah, he got pissy for no reason. It's just strange. I mean, it's a good time for him. He got to the Hall of Fame. His family's there. His daughters are there. Just like, I just thought that was just very strange, guys. I don't know. But I don't know.
If it's, you know, again, if we're putting this in the, like, it's something worth watching. They could, it could fix it, could resolve itself. But it is something that I have noted and I am keeping an eye on going forward. Just all right, so we've got to put.
I won't be watching this show. I won't be watching this show.
No?
On Netflix. Absolutely not. Because everything's a work. So why should I watch? The show, that writing room thing they're going to be doing in the summer, I'm not watching that. I haven't seen an episode of LFG. Have you guys? Mm-mm. Have you watched that?
No, that's mainly because I don't get A&E, but I would watch that.
No, but everything's a work, so why should we watch?
That's fair.
Plenty of other things to dive into this week in the world of professional wrestling. We call it the three count here on GKW. Brian, what is number one this week?
All right, let's translate this. Move it to the mat. Next Saturday, Backlash in St. Louis. Four matches announced so far. Cena versus Orton. Jey Uso versus Logan Paul. Lyra versus Becky for the women's IC title. And Gunther versus Pat McAfee. Level 1 to 10. What's your excitement level for Backlash right now?
4. Not very high. Am I watching it? Yeah, but this kind of ends up happening a little bit with Backlash. I mean, unless, again, you're putting Bad Bunny in a street fight, in a San Juan street fight down in Puerto Rico.
Yes.
Where you have something like that. There's nothing here that's really grabbing. I think they're hoping that Orton and Cena, it's probably the thing I'm most interested in, because it's, okay, is this kind of slow, really methodical style of ruining pro wrestling going to continue to be what John Cena does? Does he pick up the pace against Randy Orton? What does a match like that look like as we continue moving forward with this new John Cena character? That's something I'm interested in. I mean, Gunther versus McAfee. I mean, look, McAfee can go. Like, the times that he's been given opportunities, he can go in the ring. I'm curious as to why they decided to do this, because it kind of came out of nowhere. I feel most other times we've seen an announcer get involved with the feud, it goes to that slow burn, while this was just something quick that clearly Gunther's going to win and move on if they just wanted a way to keep him on television. I'm not sure. Or if this is able to write off Pat because he's got something else he has to go do and can't be at the announcer booth here for a couple of months. I'm not sure. But the rest of the card to me after Cena versus Orton's kind of meh.
Yeah, it's a 5, 4 or 5 for me. I think my problem with Gunther is my first time that I had a problem with Gunther is that he didn't choke Michael Cole long enough. Would have liked for him to have the goozle a little bit longer, maybe another 20 minutes. That would have been good for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because if you're going to be a smart-ass announcer, you're going to get yours. you're going to get in the face of Gunther like that, you're going to get choked. And rightfully so.
And that's the thing. Maybe it's because it's post-Mania, maybe because it's such a quick turnaround. But like we've talked in the past, some of these PLEs are glorified house shows. That's what this one feels like. So like I'm sort of in that 3-4 range where you're not looking at any of these matches like, oh, I wonder who's going to win that. Like Cena's going to retain. I'm going to go on a limb and say Jey Uso will retain over Logan Paul. Mm-hmm. Gunther should beat McAfee. I guess the women's IC go either way, but it probably ends up with Becky winning there. So there's just a disconnect right now. Like Gunther, that's been such a top-level star, McAfee feels like such a waste.
Yeah, and again, because it wouldn't be a waste if you found a way to do something longer term.
Sure.
Like if this thing had been building, like there was clearly a way you could do it if you built it up and maybe they had to, you know, just get the thing going quickly because of other commitments that maybe McAfee has because he has so much on his plate. I don't know. I guess I am also intrigued by Becky and Lyra, mostly if Becky wins.
Sure.
Because then I assume, okay, Lyra gets to chase, which is something we haven't really seen her do. She won the tournament, won the IC championship, has kind of just been sitting there with the belt. Can you make that character more interesting and give us a reason to root for her over somebody who is just clearly immensely popular with your fan base and Becky Lynch? I think that's a challenge and that's going to be interesting and worth watching. But again, that's not necessarily for the pay-per-view. Right. That's something I'm looking forward to after the pay-per-view.
I also think you're giving them the benefit of the doubt. Like, Lyra was good on Monday. We haven't seen that side of her promo-wise.
Yeah.
I feel like she drops this title next week, and then she's not a part of this picture anymore. And we move on to Becky and Bayley.
I'll say this about Lyra. That's a step up in class for her.
Yeah.
And by the way, it wasn't the usual WWE promo. They were talking over one another.
Yeah.
So it sounded like a little bit more of a fight that we could mm-hmm. see between the two, which is cool. You did mention Fatu against Drew McIntyre for the United States title, right?
Oh, is that official? I didn't see it. Okay.
I think that might be one of the matches. Tiffany Stratton against Nia Jax.
Is that a thing? Backlash? I mean, that's 6 matches. That's a lot for them.
Yeah, my guess is those get officially added probably on Friday.
And one of them gets stuck to SmackDown, maybe?
Maybe.
I don't know. They wasted. I mean, we'll get to it, but they wasted one of them. Well, could have been one of the best matches at WrestleMania. Decided to put it on the SmackDown after Mania.
Uh huh.
Might have been the second best match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Given the time that they had, commercial free. And by the way, shout out to Joe Test. That was the best WWE match he's ever called.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The emotion was there. I'm like, go Joe Test. Great.
What happens when he puts the jacket on? He means business.
My God, this is what it's all about, folks. The jacket's on, folks. He's great. John Cena against Randy Orton is the nostalgia. That's why we're seeing that. Like, this will be, here's the thing about that. That won't be the best match on the card. I think that, thank God, John Cena is going to be done after this year. Because after watching that title match, man, I think it's rust, but he's 2 steps behind. That's not dynamic at all. Even though he's a heel, that's still not dynamic. The heel is supposed to not only call the match, but also have a little bit more, you know, a little bit more gumption, a little bit more offense, so that way the babyface can come out from underneath. I didn't see enough of that in that match against Cody.
Yeah.
Does John get better at hiding how he's calling the match?
He does not.
Okay. All right. I just thought I'd ask, you know, because it's pretty obvious. What are you telling Cody to hit him again?
Again.
Again.
Again. Again, Irish whip. All right. Boot. Like, what? Like, could you keep it down, please? All the match.
Again, the dude's been a babyface for 20 years. What do you want? He's a little out of practice calling matches a heel.
I want him to cover his mouth like Luger used to. Just cover the mouth, for God's sake. My God, man. And so, and by the way, Jey Uso and Logan Paul will deliver.
Yeah.
I think it will, it will deliver. But it, like,
oh, it'll be a good match. Yeah. But because this is the weird thing. Like, it felt like we had forever in the buildup to WrestleMania because there was a huge gap between Elimination Chamber and Mania. And now it's so quick, such a turnaround to Backlash, right, that they're just kind of slingshotting a couple of these feuds, and it's hard for you to kind of sink your teeth in and connect with it as a fan.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's, you know, like you said, it's post-Mania. Like, Cena, Orton, and the crowd will be into. That'll be fun. Like, the St. Louis crowd, you'll get some false finishes. They'll think Orton's going to get the win, but I think that's it.
It's fine. And you know what it is. It's like, you know, Cena only has a few more dates left. Let's do that one more time with Randy. That'll be a good matchup. And then the rest of it's okay. Yep. It's not awful. And once he gets in the ring, it'll be fine.
And I enjoyed that Orton pointed out that, you know, they're having the match and he's the good guy and John's the bad guy. Like, I kind of enjoyed that little nod during that promo on Monday. So, or was it Friday, whenever the promo was.
Well,
whenever those two showed up, I enjoyed that. And look, this needed to be a match on the farewell tour, and to do it in St. Louis makes a ton of sense.
Yep.
I think it's funny that every time John is in a promo battle, he just lays out like the Wile E. Coyote, just dead. Doesn't move, doesn't twitch. He's just dead. We saw this twice with Cody. We just saw this with Randy as well. When he's down, because for 20 years, he's the one that's walking out first. He's walking out last, but he's dead first. He doesn't move at all. It's amazing.
Yeah. And taking out kids left and right, which has been amusing.
I know. Can we get a camera?
Right. No, I mean, yes.
Just randomly in the crowd, just pointing in Fort Worth, just like, you, sir, you. Who are you talking about?
What do we got at number two this week?
Right, in the world of AEW, we found out last night the men's final of the Owen. It'll be Hangman. It'll be Ospreay. The winner gets a shot at the world title. So who wins the Owen, Hangman or Ospreay?
Okay, I think it's going to be Ospreay, but I want it to be Hangman. I feel like over the last few, Ospreay's Ospreay, and he's fantastic, and I don't want to take anything away from him, but I feel like the work that Hangman has really been putting in all of 2025, even dating back a little bit into 24 and the feud that he had with Swerve, he's putting in such good work. And maybe part of this is because Ospreay just makes it so easy and he's just there. Like, I feel like I can connect more with the Hangman character than Ospreay right now. I think ultimately it's Ospreay and I'm cool with that. But if it was Hangman, I think I'd pop a little bit more.
You know what? Make your case for Hangman. I know that you believe it could be Ospreay, but it's just what you just laid out. Hangman Page should win it. Mm-hmm.
If it's Hangman, it makes sense because you know, I mean, it's more or less what WWE is also doing. You know, like Mox is ruining AEW. He wants somebody, and Hangman's an AEW original. No offense against Ospreay. He eventually came over and certainly made appearances while he's still part of New Japan. But like as an AEW original, it makes more sense, I think, storyline-wise, for one of those original guys to step up and be the one that saves AEW from the Death Riders and Mox and eventually takes that, you know, AEW World Championship out of the briefcase that it's in. And the character work that he's put in, like as this tweener, like as this guy who's got some conflict certainly inside of him, but still has this killer instinct. I feel like his character work, obviously his in-ring work is fantastic. I mean, you can't touch Ospreay because who can, but I feel like it's all been just so good for Hangman where I find myself every time I see him on my TV, like I'm rooting for him to do good things. And I've just connected more to Hangman. And that's why I feel like he should be the guy, even though it's probably Ospreay.
Yeah. And I think credit to Hangman. I mean, we've talked about it. Like Hangman winning the AEW world title the first time was one of the best stories AEW ever told because of the Hangman chase. Hangman winning the title again is going to be maybe the second best story they've told. Like, it's going to be that moment where it's like, wow, Hangman did it. He got over all this stuff. Like I said, that tweener character, that's credit to Hangman. Ospreay doesn't need stuff like this. Like, yes, him winning the belt would be a big moment, and it's finally, hey, you take the ball and run with it. But you just roll Ospreay out there every week, and he can do stuff like that. Hangman, story-wise, I think makes sense to be the savior of this company.
Like, eventually you can give Ospreay a championship, because eventually they will. But Ospreay, to me, if we're talking about taking mantles, like, he's almost taking the Brian Danielson mantle.
Yeah.
Like, Danielson never needed a championship in AEW because he was pretty established. Same thing with Ospreay. Like, I mean, he's won a bunch of championships, certainly over in New Japan. And, I mean, obviously there's the connection of, I don't think either of them ever actually wants to win, right. Where they're just both cool with taking pins, because that's just kind of who they are as people. But I think he kind of takes that, where every time you rolled up Brian Danielson, and I know we talked about it because he had so many opportunities at the AEW championship that he eventually lost, until he won it right at the end and had that little bit of a run before Mox took it away from him. But, like, you can heat up Ospreay as quickly as you want. Right. And it's just so tough, I think, for the rest of the roster when you take somebody that you can naturally tell stories with and know that you can rely upon, and now you tie him up with the world championship. That kind of puts stress on a lot of the other things that you might want to do. Now, eventually you'll have to do that, and hopefully other people can kind of step up in that absence of somebody like Ospreay. But Ospreay doesn't need it, where it feels like, Hangman needs it just a little bit more.
You know, I was thinking while you were talking, Gabe, about the All in Texas, and it's in Dallas. And I was thinking about looking at WrestleTix about a week ago and seeing that, you know, at Globe Life Field, what have they sold, Brian? If there's an update, 19,000 tickets, like, come on, man. Like, you know, for a guy like Hangman Page or even Samoa Joe, who's back in the title picture again, he's going to have his matchup in the Chicagoland area on May 14th, and Swerve Strickland, all these guys, right? Man, it would just be so much better if they were just saying, okay, this didn't work. We're going to be at American Airlines Arena where the Dallas Mavericks play, and just 20,000 people, 18, whatever it is, and just have this big moment of Moxley losing the championship against somebody. I just feel like when they do this in Texas, I'm sure that's when he'll lose the title. I mean, it'll be a moment, but how big a moment would it be unless it was 20,000 people in the arena just screaming, thank God Moxley's no longer the champion. I just feel like whatever they're leading toward, it's going to be – it'll feel less than based on the venue.
So as of yesterday, 4,600 available. The current setup, 18,000. So they've got about 14,000 already distributed.
That's miserable.
And that's going to be tough. Like, the setup there is funky too. I was down in Texas and in the Dallas area a couple of years ago and happened to go to a Rangers game there. It's a weird setup because you walk in and then the field is below you. Like, you're walking in like in the outfield, and again, the field kind of sinks down. So I don't know how you're going to position that with that few of people. Like, that's just going to be – it's a funky way to do it, because you've got these big – out in right field, like, there is that bleachers or whatever they want to call them out there in right, they just climb high, and it just – it's going to look awkward with that few of people in that stadium.
Just imagine, though, like, the guys we're talking about finally beating Moxley but in an arena, Brian, where you get that big pop. And then with this, like, it's their first stadium show, and I get
in the
that.
States,
but they couldn't – they couldn't see the forest for the trees, though, because they thought it would still stay hot and this thing will be, 40,000 people. And it just – it's not going to get there because of how of Moxley being the champion. Haven't seen the title since October, the actual title. When Moxley comes out there, for the neophyte fan, they have to be like, well, who's the champion in this place?
Right.
Because Moxley's got a white T-shirt on and jeans, and you don't even know he's a champion unless the announcer says it in passing.
I think if they're somehow, and this is a huge ask, if they could double it, if they get to 30,000, I think you get something good.
Sure.
But I don't like the odds of them doubling what they currently have to get anywhere near that 30,000 mark.
So the thing is, though, like, I agree with you guys, like, we've talked about a lot, like, the Mox stories should have been pulled the plug a while ago. I wonder if fans get into it a little bit once we have the winner of the Owen. I mean, Ospreay and Hangman are the most over baby faces in the company. So all of a sudden, fans are like, oh, I want to be there to see this guy win the title. So maybe we see a boost in attendance after that.
I think it's certainly possible. And especially if you get a really good match. Is that already, they're doing that next Wednesday inside the steel cage? Joe and Mox. Or is that
May
2 weeks?
14th.
May 14th. So we're 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks away from that. You know, if you put on a good match there and get some intrigue, again, you're going to have to keep some interest still pretty long, because we've got we've got to get through Double or Nothing first of that Owen and that Owen Hart final before you're able to finally get to that whoever wins versus Mox.
I will say I'm interested. We have 3 weeks of build to this final. So I'm curious to see like what we get out of Ospreay and Hangman, where they're both going to be faces going into it. Like they're both going to be trying to defend the honor of the company. I'm curious to see the build to this match that obviously will deliver, but the storyline, I'm very curious to see how that turns out.
Probably some Nick Camarado matches against Hangman.
Good.
Probably get that since he made his return last week. It's like,
very necessary.
I'm watching Rhett Titus. I'm like, I'd pay good money to see you and Kenny King. Why are you a preliminary? Why?
You pay your $9.99 a month to watch those guys.
I did. It's Rhett Titus. I'm like, oh my God, look how the money's about. Nick Camarado's never gotten over. Never. It's just like, oh my God. So, yeah, I you know what, Gabe? Just, I think that the point is made that Ospreay has gotten so many wins and so many big matches. Hangman Page deserves this. I agree with you.
Yeah, it's what I'm hoping for. But look, if it's Ospreay, it's still going to be a great moment. Like the fun part is whoever ends up winning this, it's going to be a great moment for them whenever they win the championship, presumably at Globe Life, unless somebody shows up and the Death Riders just continue to grow and our long national nightmare continues.
No.
What do we got at number three this week, Brian?
All right. It's coming from a discussion on Twitter. Someone asked Dave Meltzer this, so we'll bring it here. Which company currently is doing a better job of building the next generation of stars?
All right, so I got a little bit of research here.
So do I.
All right.
So do I.
I've got the names of from both rosters of all performers under the age of 30. All right. So I think that's where we start. Clearly, there are some people that are still younger that are 30, 31. Yeah. But I said, you know, if you're 30 and older, you get cut off. So in WWE, Austin Theory is 27.
What?
Braun Breaker is 27. Uh-huh. Brutus Creed is 29. Creed. Dirty Dom is 28. Dom. Tyler Bate is 28.
Uh-huh.
Kiana James is 27. Lyra Valkyrie is 28. Maxine Dupri, 27. Rhea, 28. Axiom, 27. And Tiffy is 26.
Okay.
That's a solid roster.
1, 2, 3. I'm a 4. I'm just going to let at 4 people that are over, maybe 5 of the Valkyria. What is Austin Theory these days? I mean, seriously.
He's backstage doing every once in a while. They show up and part of a comedy segment.
He posted something on Twitter today or yesterday about like chasing your dreams. Like, did he get cut? And I don't think so. I think he was just being emotional at the moment.
How many seriously are over, Gabe? I counted 5.
Braun, Dom, mm-hmm. Rhea, Tiffy. Yeah, I mean, I guess if you want to throw Lyra on there, I mean, she's being heavily featured, so I think you would probably have to put her on that list. I've got 5, yes.
I think you can make a case for Axiom also. Like, I know they're starting the ascent.
Okay.
I mean, they're not on the same level as those guys and girls, but...
Let me just tell you. This is just me, okay, guys? It's just me, all right? I'm a little weirded out by the tag team that has... One guy's got a mask and the other one doesn't. I don't like that.
Oh, no? That's a thing?
I don't like that. I'm just not a fan of that. Either 2 masks or no mask. I don't like the one in and one out. I like to have 2 masks or no mask at all.
Okay.
Makes it look cheap. That's what I think.
Sorry. Jeez.
All right. Over on the AEW side.
Yes.
For the men, Action Andretti is 27. Whoa. Daniel Garcia is 26.
Yeah.
Dante is 24. His brother Darius Martin, 25. Hook is 25. Isaiah Cassidy is 28. Jack Perry is 27. Fletcher is 26. And MJF is 29. And then in the women's division, Anna Jay is 26. Billy Starks is 20. So Harley Cameron on her Wikipedia page doesn't have a birth date listed, but she's under 30, right?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. I literally have no idea. Like, you could tell me she's 35. You could tell me she's 25. I'd believe you either way. So I guess we'll leave Harley alone. We'll leave her off because I didn't find her birthday. Maybe I can find it a little later. Julia Hart is 23. Tony Storm is 29. Sky Blue, 25. Mariah May, who obviously rumors are that she's leaving, but she's still under contract. AEW is 26. And Hood's girl, Megan Bain, also 26.
And hot. Okay, so, beg your pardon. So I would say that AEW does a better job than WWE. Mm-hmm. Look how many names you mentioned. Now, now here's a question. I think that they're more over than WWE because they get more TV time and more time on the pay-per-view. Some of the young people that we're talking about here, like Tyler Bate, who I liked, I watched him NXT UK, is fantastic. He's just kind of stuck in this tag team, though. Kiana James, fine. Creed is got TV time. Maxine Dupree is kind of in a joke tag team.
Yeah.
So, and Theory's kind of out. It's kind of a jobber. But all these other people get meaningful TV time on Collision and on Dynamite. Now, again, we may not like the booking from time to time, but these people are getting over.
So I mean, when I look at those are.
I mean,
names.
So the biggest the person on the men's side who's over most in WWE, is it Braun or is it Dom?
Oh, it's
I'll put it this way. I think both of them are future world champs.
Yeah. I mean, MJF is already a world champ.
Yeah.
You know, like Fletcher, also a future world champ. Like, if you start stacking, you know, like Fletcher's a future world champ. I mean, maybe Hook or Jack Perry eventually get there, but they've held significant titles, I would say, in AEW and have had significant storylines. Same thing with Danny Garcia. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there's more potential, and they've been featured more in AEW. And honestly, I mean, again, Rhea's fantastic. Love Rhea. I mean, the women's division is just running circles.
Yes.
The AEW women's division running circles around WWE, despite them having the best name. Like, if we're putting all those women in a draft, Rhea's the number one pick. I don't know the next time we take a WWE woman under the age of 30 after. Because, again, Julia Hart, Scott, Tony, Sky is hurt right now. Mariah May, Megan Bain, like... The list is unbelievable. And the fact that Billy Starks is only 20 years old and is starting to get more and more TV time as well. Like
that list of names in the women's side under 30, like that's an entire women's division.
Yes.
Like you can book nothing but those women and be good. Like that's impressive.
And again, you know, the veterans are holding the championships. Like Mercedes Moné at some point is going to lose that championship. She's got three others. She doesn't have to hold on to the title. It's fine. She dropped one, by the way, last night. She dropped one off of her hip, if you notice that she scrambled to the back. But the names you just laid out there, and I wrote down. So do we know how old Hologram is? Is he under 30? He's undefeated, you know. That's what I keep hearing. Undefeated. Bandito, over 30, I would imagine, as ROH champion. He's got the mask that I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if he is or not.
And isn't Ospreay like just above 30?
Ospreay's 31, I believe.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Knight, is he a seasoned veteran or is he under 30?
Bandito is 30.
Okay.
And Kevin Knight, who's getting a lot of TV time lately.
Yep. Kevin Knight. Oh, I missed Kevin Knight. Kevin Knight is 28.
Another guy getting a lot of TV time. So
that guy, I'm very glad, by the way, we don't have to go to the CW to watch that guy wrestle. Like, well-deserved TV time for him.
Yes.
And much like our girl Harley Cameron, no listed birth date on the Wikipedia page for Hologram.
You never know who's under that mask.
See, I don't know who's underneath there. He just looks young because he's undefeated. He looks young and spry. He might be under 30. I don't know.
Look, I mean, Hologram or Axiom, which one are you taking? You know, that's kind of the one-on-one match we can book between these.
All right, look, again, the tag team, take that mask off, or the other guy's got to put that one on. That's what I said. A little awkward. Just strange for me. I think AEW wins in that. Again, boy, God bless if they had structure. Oh my God, like better structure. Like they're getting matches and we see them on TV, but that women's division, you're right, guys. That is, as I write this down, this is impressive.
Yeah. And again, Mariah May is probably going to end up in WWE, but you know, again, she was developed and was a world champion in AEW before she's making that jump. Kind of the same thing with, and now she's over the age of 30, but that's what we saw with, why am I blanking on her name? Just had a WrestleMania match.
Lyra Valkyria?
No. Yeah. Against Naomi.
Jade Cargill.
Jade Cargill, I think she's 31 or 32, but obviously spent her time coming up in NXT, getting a lot of TV time before she made her jump. So I kind of look at that same, you know, she's an AEW product who is now in WWE is the way I look at Jade Cargill.
And I think also with WWE, like the main event picture is so old, and like the Ortons, the Cenas, the Punks, the Romans, like that's where it's hard to lean there because yes, we're seeing Dom and Braun get TV time and build up, but like, I feel like it's going to be a while until we see him in a big main event spot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, on the women's side, Rhea and Tiffy. I mean, Tiffy, a current champ, and Rhea's been, you know, is always going to be a part of the main event picture. But yeah, it's just that men's side just leaves a lot to be desired and is just a steep fall off after Braun and Dom.
Yeah.
Like a steep fall off.
And I feel like from Dom's standpoint, I almost feel like they couldn't have envisioned it would have skyrocketed like it did.
No.
Well, you know, here's a WWE fan in a nutshell now. You know what's happened? It's just like, they're just cheering everything. Everything's one more time. I mean, Seth Rollins is supposed to be like this big heel. I mean, they take out Sami Zayn. Oh, whoa. Like, no, that's one of the big baby face. I don't care. Whoa. Well, now everything's blurry now, guys. Like at one point it was defined baby faces and heels. And now the fans, they bark for Braun. Mm-hmm. They cheer for Seth. And even though Sami Zayn's down on his ass, it's interesting WWE these days.
Well, it's very simple. You have to change Seth's music.
Yes.
If you want him to be a heel, you have to change his music. You just have to do it. That was one thing. I mean, Vince did that all the time. Think about when Sammy was like the conspiratorial guy and everybody was against him. He wasn't coming out to the music where everybody likes to sing and yell, let's go with the beginning of it.
Right.
You know, like he changed it. They changed the presentation because he didn't want the fans to be confused. Like, oh, you're not supposed to be cheering for this guy.
Well, Jericho, you know, current day Jericho to the side, like when he turned heel, like got rid of Judas. Like, no, you're not supposed to be singing along. I'm a bad guy now. Like, the fans cheering everything is not best for business.
It's not. because now, like Seth is supposed to be like this whole like big presence, and they're getting babyface cheers.
Right.
And by the way, like people don't want to let go. I mean, even Becky getting babyface cheers. You have to change. Everybody can't just be Cena, and Cena's like, you know what, I'm keeping my music because I'm John Cena. Some people need to be able to have, again, a fresh coat of paint. And just going with the same music and the same outfit, like people remember what they liked. That's what I'm saying.
But even with Cena, like Cena can, you know, this is the way I like to dress. I'm not doing anything for you. But even then they changed the, and I love the fact that the lights go out now before Cena comes out. And it just says in just plain black white letters, John Cena. There's no, you know, there's no package. There's no him doing highlights. It is just, nope, John Cena. We're making this as boring as possible. That's my voice on that song. I'm not going to change for you guys. All right, so what's the – we're not going to get any explanation for – I mean, even The Rock, again, subtle change for his music, but, like, the Final Boss music is different than, you know, when he showed up to host WrestleMania in 2010 or whatever year that was, 11. Yeah, so it's those subtle little changes, and I think they have to change. If they – again, maybe they're fine with Seth Rollins getting cheered. Maybe they're fine with that. Maybe Hunter's okay. But if he's not, we'll know because they'll change the entrance music.
Hopefully.
But yeah, I think it's AEW right now in a landslide.
Yep.
Now book it right.
Younger talent. Wow.
Now book it right.
That's another issue that we cover just about every week here on GKW. Yeah. What do we got at news and notes this week, Ryan?
All right, it was teased on Twitter. Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff are back together again. They were teasing a mystery third man in an NWS promo. That third man is longtime wrestling coach Izzy Martinez. And those three will be launching Real American Freestyle Wrestling in the near future. They're working on a TV deal. So get excited for that. No,
I refuse.
Okay.
I'm not going to get excited for that. Where are they putting this? Is this just going to be on like YouTube?
They haven't figured it out yet. They're working on a long-term TV solution, according to Bischoff.
Freestyle wrestling, you say?
Yeah, they said it's going to be like The Voice. So it's, you know, collegiate wrestling, and there'll be prizing and this and that. Uh-huh.
Okay, it's so bad. Anything with Hogan's name on it, I don't want anything to do with it.
Well, but also, like, Hogan wasn't a freestyle wrestler.
What? Just like, ask him. I'm sure he'll tell you he was.
I think he was, actually.
Terry Bolo was back in the day? Yeah.
Yes, he was. I mean, ask him now, he was.
Yeah, sure. Probably the best ever, according to him. Yeah. Old medalist. Sure. He broke his neck in the Olympics.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, if you were doing this with Kurt Angle or Brock Lesnar, somebody who clearly had a high-level amateur background, like, oh, this would make sense. Doing it with Hulk Hogan in the year of our Lord, 2025?
That's what? Not going to – I think it's clear here at GKW. That's not getting over. I don't know what that – I mean, you'll do the NWO thing. Can I have a little bit more than just a shady background and a mic? Yeah, man, that was just bad all the way around. No surprise. It just fell flat. And if Hogan's attached, it's a lie.
That is accurate. Yeah. Brian Danielson, in an interview with Metro, revealed his neck is, quote, wrecked. He's trying to avoid neck surgery and, quote, has no desire to ever wrestle again.
Well, I don't believe that part.
Yeah.
I bet he has a desire to wrestle again. He just, if you know, he wants to avoid the surgery and have it kind of heal up. He doesn't want to go through the physical rigors, especially the way that he likes to wrestle. So I have a tendency to believe Bryan Danielson when he says he's never going to wrestle again. Like, he's one of the few ones where I actually believe it. And I think the neck injury is going to prevent it because he knows he wants to. And maybe because, again, Shawn Michaels was a mentor of his, and he saw how poorly it went for Shawn when Shawn went back for the one match. Even if, you know, 5, 6, 7 years from now, oh yeah, your neck, if you wanted to do a match or two, your neck is fine. I don't think he would be tempted to go back.
Yeah, I really thought that Danielson would spend more time with AEW in the back after his matchup against John Moxley. I thought that he'd spend more time because he's such an influence for AEW, just for young wrestlers just to kind of talk to about, hey, about my spot or what do you think about my match. I thought that he'd be around more. I think he was at a recent pay-per-view, but that's pretty much it. That's too bad because even though he can't help you in the ring, he can help you in the back.
That's TK though, right? I mean, how many guys have they – I mean, that Mark Henry's not there anymore. Like, how many guys – Arn Anderson – like, how many guys did they start with in the back that you're thinking, oh, okay, this is the right way to do it? Kind of like when, you know, you hire a first-time head coach in the NBA and his lead assistant, somebody who was a head coach. That's the way I was kind of thinking, oh, TK, they've got these guys that you're going to be able to – and it's just kind of TK's way or the highway, and he doesn't lean on any of these other people. It's – even though he has a lot of people that would probably be willing to help, like Bryan Danielson.
So what you just heard, Brian, is that TK is – JJ Redick. That's what you just heard right there. He is JJ freaking Redick, who doesn't listen to it.
Can you imagine how much better hands the young people we just listed would be if, like, Bryan Danielson was head of creative?
Yeah, absolutely. Either him or Taylor Jenkins. Oh, sorry. That's my next Bucks coach, by the way. That's my choice.
I don't think Doc's going anywhere.
Elsewhere, the WWE World Fightful reporting that there are currently no plans for Rollins, Heyman, and Braun to add any new members. Sports Illustrated also says they're going to be the standard for future factions. No name, right? As far as I know, the three of them?
I don't think so. I don't believe so.
We need a name.
I mean, again, I the only other obvious member would potentially be Becky, but that's just because her and Seth are both, you know, heels right now, and having the married couple work together with Heyman, I think I'm pretty sure. Like at once upon a time, maybe I'm making this up, and my memory's playing tricks on me. I swear I saw Becky Lynch once wear a Paul Heyman girl shirt.
That is correct.
Trying to connect those dots, but obviously I was wrong that they're not trying to add to that faction.
I believe that they should bring Bayley in. I think Bailey, for what she said to Chris Van Vliet, which was a shoot, talking about how, you know, she's got a disconnect with WWE. And, you know, as you saw her, Brian, all over the indie circuit, you know, talking to friends and family, like that's – I think that the two-man power trip is cool, but I think that you need a little bit more, you know? Like, you're going to get, one of these tag team matches where you're going to need someone from the outside, another member to help. I think that they should have another member. I mean, it's right there for you. I'm sure they had the IP of the Dangerous Alliance. If they want to use that from WCW from 92, it's there if they want it, you know, but I don't know. I think you should have another member, though, a man and a woman.
And finally, in news and notes, Stone Cold Steve Austin was on the Ariel Helwani podcast talking about his WrestleMania appearance, was asked about his thoughts in the main event between Cody and Cena, and quote, "I didn't see it." Stone Cold says he left early to beat the crowd. He did see some snippets on Instagram, but hasn't watched the full match.
What a snippets. What a national treasure. First of all, was obviously very uncomfortable talking about the four-wheeler incident, and I believe was blaming it on a different throttle than what he's used to. I believe that was the excuse, because now, you know, he doesn't want his four-wheeling skills cut to come into question. I thought that was hilarious as part of that interview. I'm not shocked. Yeah, Stone Cold doesn't care. Like, Stone Cold does whatever Stone Cold wants to do. And obviously, he didn't care to watch the match.
He also does not like the peek behind the curtain. He says he likes magic. He doesn't want to know how the trick is done. Not happy that Logan Paul revealed that he offered him $1 million to be the Prime mascot. And, yeah, he's just Stone Cold.
Yeah, he's just an old grizzled veteran now. Not to the Brett level. He's not Brett yet, but it's pretty close. He's just going home to the ring.
If I hear him utter the names Bill Goldberg... that's how you know we've lost him. That's when we've lost Stone Cold.
Let's keep our eyes on Triple H and Steve Austin, or former wrestlers that wrestled in the Triple H era. I wonder, is there a problem there? As much as I think that we all understand Triple H and what he did for NXT and then taking over for Vince and all that, I'd like to know what some of his contemporaries, Triple H's contemporaries, think of him. Because, they all wrestle in the same era. Brett's still, he's never going to get over getting screwed twice. I mean, it's more than once, by the way. It's not just the whole thing with Shawn. It's also, if you look back at that documentary, when Yokozuna won, when Hulk Hogan won the title at WrestleMania 7, he got screwed then too, twice. Yeah. But Austin, is Austin and Triple H cool? Are they cool? I don't know.
Showed
I think
up
they're
at least.
Friendly enough.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would rise.
The Rock didn't like him. I know that. We got that much out of it, right?
I mean, Undertaker's around, so he probably likes Hunter. But I don't know if he also just likes the paycheck that he gets from LFG and doing his one dead man show whenever they want him to and things of that nature.
He's he's just a chill guy, Undertaker.
Yeah, he just doesn't care.
He doesn't care about anything.
Yeah. Oh, you want me to do that? Yeah, fine. I'll do it.
Yeah, fine. Yeah. But you don't see him shoot on anybody. He just tells old stories and just hanging around the boys.
Because that's what he doesn't want to throw anybody under the bus. Because he's old school. He's that locker room leader who's not going to, that's never going to leave him of, he's not going to throw anybody under the bus. That's just not who Mark Calaway is.
It is.
All right, boys. Matches of the week.
I like that Fletcher Page match. Dynamite. Really great crowd in Norfolk that was there for that. I enjoyed that. The 8-man tag. That's a lot to start off a show, man.
Yeah.
Ooh,
sounds like that could have been a main event. That was a lot. But it was a flat finish. It's like, can I just be happy in the first match? Can I get a baby face to get over in the first match? It was, the people were in a fever pitch, and then it's like 1, 2, 3, the heels went.
Well, that's why Mark Briscoe's in those type of matches.
To eat the pin.
Yes.
That's a damn shame, too.
Yeah, I agree, but it's pretty obvious every time Mark Briscoe is involved. It's like, hey, we need another man in this tournament. Mark, step right up. Always.
Yeah.
Obviously, we mentioned it before, TLC from SmackDown, fantastic. With those tag teams just kind of laying it all on the line, just some different bumps that they all decided to take throughout the course of that match that were insane and wildly entertaining.
And the commercial-free aspect, I think, added a lot to that match.
Yeah, I would agree. The fact that you never had to cut away, or right. It was in the picture in picture on the side, it got to stand on its own 2 feet.
The other one I'll throw out there from Monday, it felt like a random house show match, but Rhea versus Roxanne. I hated the finish, but that's something I feel we should build up towards. It was just sort of thrown in there, but good match.
It was a good match. And we talk about young people in WWE as far as the roster is concerned. Now, like, they're going with Lyra. They're going with Roxanne to see what they can do. I get that. Yeah. And there's a reason why we keep seeing, like, Julia show up and then the matchup that we saw from Vakair.
Yep.
Oh, Vakair and Ivy Nile was also very good.
It was the best Ivy Nile match I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Long. You know, again, meaty, good stuff. But so that shows that Ivy Nile, again, she'll always be underneath probably. I don't see her as a champion, but she wrestled well.
Mm-hmm. But that should be the benefit of some of these mid-card women's titles, is giving someone like that an opportunity to get a run with the title.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
By the way, Bryan Danielson says he would build a wrestling company around these four stars. Swerve Strickland, Kenny Omega, MJF, and... I think he said Zack Sabre Jr. That just came out.
Yeah, sounds right.
So he's going to build a company. No, he said that's what he would build a company around. I did not see, unfortunately, the Impact Wrestling show from Los Angeles. I know it was sold out at the Galen Arena because life got in the way. Draft aftermath, draft afterbirth. Brother,
a lot of stuff going on in Chicago. Taking tight ends.
Yeah. Didn't have time. But I will do a side cast on that. I'll eventually get around to it. But Herndon was a pretty decent card, even though Joe Hendry got pummeled at WrestleMania. It looks like you made it out clean, where TNA fans were still cheering for Joe Hendry.
Quickly, before we go, it wasn't my favorite match, but how do we feel about friend of show Chelsea Green losing her U.S. title? Kind of came out of nowhere. I didn't see it coming.
Felt like a little bit of punishment.
So supposed to be part of WrestleMania, I'm sure. And again, remnant on the end. You don't get on WrestleMania, but you're going to lose your title anyway, so you lose on SmackDown. Okay.
No, I didn't love the feel of that.
What's the punishment?
How outspoken she was about not being on the card at Mania.
Well, it's not like Vega didn't deserve an opportunity to be champion. I just
Correct.
Done it right there, you know?
Yeah. And that's the thing, if it's 2 weeks from now, I don't think that, but it happening right after Mania, the fact that it wasn't on the Mania card, like, I don't know, it felt weird.
You know,
and the fact that, again, it wasn't like, it wasn't a roll-up, but it was basically like winning via roll-up. Like, it just kind of came out of nowhere, just, oh, okay then. I guess, I don't know what's going to happen to the Secret Hervis if Chelsea Green's not the U.S. champion anymore, but okay, I guess. Yeah. Again, and I think Zelina Vega, this is a long-awaited opportunity for her. I can't wait to see if she can run with the ball with the U.S. Women's Championship. Like, whenever she's been put in big spots, it seems like she's delivered. Now, again, a lot of those big spots she's ended up losing. Like, I think of her wrestling for, you know, a world championship in Puerto Rico a couple of years ago. Like, she absolutely delivered. And those opportunities she's had to wrestle for those championships, like, the matches deliver. Hopefully she can deliver now as a champion, as a U.S. champ. But curious to see what happens with Chelsea Green. Again, if you haven't missed any of our WrestleMania content, make sure you check it out on our YouTube page, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. A lot of good stuff that Brian put up over the course of WrestleMania week. So you can go back and check that out. Even though we're post-WrestleMania, we're quickly coming up on Backlash. We're going to be – is that a VHS? what on earth?
Says for Tom Waddle, pop it in and enjoy. Is it porn?
How do you watch that?
It's not Waddle's football stuff. So it must be porn.
I mean, I don't know if anybody's got a way to watch that. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where the nearest VCR is, but you know, best of luck to our buddy Tom Waddle. I'm watching whatever the hell is on that tape. We'll be back next week to talk about all things pro wrestling, no VHS, here on GKW.
It's a blonde.